Tonight, and we'll turn, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. And as I've said already, I know everybody's tired, and I'll try my best not to keep you long tonight, but I feel pulled toward this scripture. I felt it this afternoon, trying to pray and seek the face of God about the service tonight. Very simple thought that I have on my heart, but by His help I want to give it to you tonight and trust that it will help your heart and encourage you in these days. I sat there today and again tonight was pondering as people were mentioning things in the prayer room about these days that have come upon us. I'm glad these days did not catch God by surprise. And it seems like the majority of the preaching that I've done in the last 6 months or more, maybe, to inventory that, the ones I can remember, it seems like a lot of it has been toward encouraging the people of God. And it's more needful and necessary now in our church age than any other time I can think of. The people of God need to be encouraged in these days. Now that don't mean that there's not a time to preach on sin. It still needs to be preached on. It's still relevant to the people of God. It still takes holy living for God to bless a people. We understand all of that. But there are so many things that have bombarded the people of God. It didn't catch God by surprise. But many of the things caught us by surprise or caught us off guard. And many people, it was mentioned in the prayer room tonight, many people have used a lot of things in our day for an excuse to not come to the house of God. And that's between them and God. But if we're not careful, we'll get to that place ourselves where we feel so overwhelmed by everything that's going on in our day, we'll think that maybe God has signed the death warrant on the church, or that it's no hope or there's no use, and it's a dangerous place to be when you get there, because the next step will be to quit the house of God. And so I believe that the people of God need encouragement and help, and my heart is to be a help and a blessing to you tonight if the Lord will help me to do so. 2 Kings chapter 4, when you found your place, if you're able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading the precious word of God. Very familiar scripture that I'll read into your hearing, but I think, as far as I can remember, that I'll preach probably differently out of this scripture than I ever have. This is the direction of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophets, unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. There's a lot in these seven verses that could be preached on. There's a lot of things that I won't preach on tonight because I don't feel led in that direction. I don't feel led to preach about the woman who's a good type in this scripture of the sinner and the debt that sin brings with it that we cannot pay. And the death sentence, she said, told the man of God, the creditor's coming, because I owe a debt that I cannot pay, and he's going to take my sons away. The most precious things that I have are going to be taken from me. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. That is the guaranteed payment of the debt that we owe because of sin. But thanks be unto God through the work at Calvary that, as was said this morning, had nothing to do with us. And this miracle that took place in the life of this woman and her two sons really had nothing to do with her, but it was all in the oil, which is a type of the Spirit of God. And thanks be unto God for the day when the Spirit of God moved on my heart and on yours and worked in us that conviction and drew us to that place of repentance and faith and did a miracle in us. A lot of people say that in this New Testament age that we're living in after the Lord left and the church has established that we don't see miracles like was recorded in the days when Christ walked the earth and he raised the dead and healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk and cleansed the lepers. They say we don't see things like that. We may not, but I'm telling you, saving a soul from hell is the greatest miracle that you and I could ever witness God do in the life of a man, woman, boy, or girl. I'm glad God still is in the debt-paying business. I'm glad he's still in the debt relief business. And he'll wipe your slate clean if you owe a debt that you can't pay. It's already been paid at Calvary. But if it's still standing, the old writer said there was a debt standing on my payment, on my book, on my roll. But I'm glad that the debt got settled and it can be settled in your heart if it's not been already. And so that's a good type and a picture there. And there are other things we could preach about, the oil itself being a type of the Spirit and how it's poured out. And I'm glad God's still pouring. He poured on the day of Pentecost and it ain't changed since. Anybody that wants the Spirit of God, he'll pour it in you if you want it bad enough. But I'm interested tonight if God would help me for just a few minutes. And as far as I know, I don't think I've ever preached about the vessels before. But that's what's on my heart. I sat down, if I was to be honest with you, I'll tell you exactly how it came about today. I came home, I had to go to my grandmother's that raised me and check on my sheep. I have some over there, and I came home and I sat down in the chair in the bedroom, and in my heart, I didn't say it out loud, but in my heart I said, Lord, I'm empty. I would like to have something to give to the people tonight. You know I want to help them if you'll help me, but Lord, I'm empty. And I'm going to tell you something about preaching, which you know already, I'm sure, but you just can't dumb something up. You can make out an outline, make it all start with the same letter. You can jump real high and kick the ground and smack the pulpit, but that don't mean a message is coming forth from God. It takes God birthing it in the heart. There's a lot of preachers, and I'm not judging them, and I'm not trying to preach to them or on them or at them, but one old preacher said hundreds of years ago that a message that's only born in the mind, that's all it'll ever do is affect the mind. We got a whole lot of mind preaching in our day. But that same preacher went on to say that a message ever born in the heart by the Spirit of God will touch the hearts of men and women. And that's what I want to do tonight by the help of God, is get down in your heart where you're living. And I was empty. I said, Lord, I'm empty. I need some help. And he said, that's good. That's who I like to use, those that are empty. And he brought my mind and heart to this scripture about these vessels, that when this woman was in need, God used empty vessels. Now the vessel didn't bring the miracle about,
vessel, but he chose to use some empty vessels to bring it about. And I'm telling you, in 2020, when the year's about to close, and it's been one of the most hard, trying years that the church has ever faced, I'm glad God still's interested in some empty vessels. God can still do a miracle. God can still pour it out. God can still work. But he's interested in me and you. You say, I'm empty tonight. That's what he wants. He's not interested in who you are. He's not interested in where you are. He's not interested in what you have. He just wants you to come humble and empty before him. And if you'll come empty and I want some from him, he'll fill you up. And so she went to the man of God, and we know the story. We read it tonight in your hearing out of the scriptures about these vessels. She needed something. He said, I can't help you. How am I going to help you? What do you have in the house? She said, I ain't got nothing but a pot of oil. Now all I said already is a type of the Spirit of God. And if there's ever anything we need in 2020 in the empty vessels in the house of God, it's the Spirit of God. And he said, go get them vessels, bring them in the house and begin to pour. I'm glad if you come tonight empty and needing something from God, just cry out, pour in, Lord, and he'll go to pour it, and you'll be different than you come. We got a bad problem in our day. In these days we live in, I'm talking about every church, we have the problem just about a lot of times, about every time we meet anymore, it seems like. I understand, I thank God for what he's been doing, but I'm just going to get down to reality here. We got a bad problem in our church age. In 2020, too many people are going out the door the same way they come in. And I know it ain't about us working it up. We can't do nothing if God don't show up on the scene. But there's a whole lot of times he'd like to show up, but there ain't no vessels empty at the house of God. There ain't nobody wanting him to pour in. And if ain't nobody wanting him to pour in, he'll go on to the next church. But if anybody will get humble before him and cry, oh Lord, I'm empty and I need some help tonight, I'd like for you to pour in tonight. Whatever you need is tonight. However you feel on the inside, if you feel like you can't go on, if you feel like you need help to take another step, if you feel like you got nothing left, just cry out, pour in, Lord, and he'll pour in, and you'll be different than you come. But these vessels, I counted today, I'm just going to preach real simple because that's how it's on my heart. I'm a simple preacher anyway. And that's the way the Lord give it to me. So I'm going to give it to you if by his help the way he give it to me. But the Lord got to speak into my heart today, sitting there in the chair real quick. He just began to give me some things. And he said, if the vessels are going to be used, there's some things they had to be. And number one, he spoke to my heart. I got four things I believe the Lord put on my heart about us as vessels. Everybody in here is and has a vessel, and God wants to use you, but the question is, do you want to be used of God? If you do, he will use you, but you got to meet some qualifications first. I want to say, first of all, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, if these vessels were going to be used by this woman, and if the work was going to be done by my hand, the vessel she got had to be clean. Elijah said, go borrow you some vessels and borrow not a few. Just go to your neighbors. Elisha said, go get some vessels from them. Whoever will have mercy on you, whoever will lend to you, get you some vessels. But I guarantee she didn't go around collecting dirty ones, because a dirty vessel will contaminate whatever is put inside of it.
That's right.
You wouldn't go home and dig a dirty cup out of the sink and sit there for about 2 days with stuff crusted on it. I'm just trying to preach tonight, okay? You all know what I'm talking about. It's something you left in the car over the weekend and just pour it out and not wash it out and put something else in it. You say, I'd be nasty. Well, why is it any different when we come to the house of God and doing God knows what, having whatever in our heart, things that ought not to be. I'm not talking about way big sins that we know are wrong, but we've not been faithful. We've not prayed. We've not studied. We've not read His Word. We're not dedicated. We're going stale and stagnant on the inside. What we need is the Holy Ghost to take the scrubbing brush of the Word of God and clean us out and make us clean so He can use us again. And it may not be so much. Now I'm just preaching tonight, okay, however God puts it on my heart. It may not be so much what's in there, but it might be that there ain't nothing been in there in a long time. And if you set a cup on the shelf and don't use it for several months, it don't matter how good of a house cleaner you are, dust accumulates. And you don't want to pour a glass of water in a cup that's got a half inch of dust in the bottom and turn it up and drink it. But sometimes we need God to blow the dust off and get the dust out, clean us up, so He can pour in us again. Yeah. Them vessels had to be clean if they was going to be used of God. That's what we're going to have. That's what's going to take in these days for the Lord to use us again. He never has worked over sin. He never has worked over sin. And He never will work over sin. He never has worked in a way that would contaminate or violate His holiness. What we need is God to clean the vessels again that He might pour in again. It'll take clean vessels. But then I'm just preaching, all right, just how God put it. And I don't know so much. I'm kind of reading in between the lines of the Scripture tonight, but this is the way the Holy Ghost spoke to me today. He said them vessels got to be clean, but He said don't worry, them vessels can just be common. You say you find that in there? Well, I find it in what's not said. She went to Elisha and she said, I need some help. He said, what do you have? She said, a pot of oil. He said, go borrow vessels. He didn't say go find the neighbors got the silver ones or the gold ones or the shiny ones or the big ones or the medium. So He didn't give any specification. He just said any vessel you can get it and use it. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to be fancy. God's not interested in what you have or who you are in this world. You don't have to feel like you have to be a 50-gallon drum. You just might hold a cup or two. You may not be made out of gold or silver or brass or fine things, but whatever you are, if you're a vessel, if you're saved and in the family of God, we're all just common vessels, and God's interested in using us. He didn't exclude any vessel. He didn't say, now, if you go to this neighbor's house and they got a 5-gallon bucket, get in. But if you go to the next neighbor's house and all they got's a tablespoon, He said, don't know. He didn't say that. He said, whatever you can find that'll hold the oil, you get it. And now I'm just reading between the lines and preaching. It's on my heart tonight. I think she got every measuring spoon, measuring cup that she could get. Got glasses, cups, bowls, anything that would hold the oil, any vessel that was willing to be used. She got it and watched God do a miraculous work, and it was just as much a miracle to fill the tablespoon as it was to fill the 5-gallon bucket. And I'm telling you tonight, if you come tonight and you feel like you ain't much and ain't got much, if you can hold a tablespoon or you can hold 20 gallons, I'd cry out, God, fill me, and let God do a work. It matters not what kind of vessel you are. I don't know about you, but I've been in some meetings, and I'm just trying to preach tonight and follow the Lord. But I've been in some meetings where some other preachers preach, and it felt like I was supposed to preach. I preached with them, before them, after them, in between them, and felt like there's 50-gallon drums, and I could barely hold a teaspoon. But I've come to find out, not because of who I am or anything I've done, but I've felt the touch of God on a little teaspoon like me. God's interested in filling empty vessels. You can be clean. As long as you're clean, it don't matter how common you are. You don't have to have the finest of what the world says you have to have. You don't have to come in tonight in a three-piece suit. If that's what you wear to church, that's fine. But if all you've got's a good pair of blue jeans and a flannel shirt, you come on. God's not interested in all of that. He just wants a common vessel. If that's really what caught God's attention, and that was really what God was interested in, he'd have never passed up David's elder brother Eliab. He'd have picked him, but he passed up Eliab. He passed up all the others, all the way down to the ready, a fair-complected run of the litter, who nobody thought it was, who said nobody said he'll be the one. Nobody thought he could ever be used of God, but he told Samuel, "You look on the outward, but I'm looking at what kind of vessel he is and how I can use him." And if we're not careful in our church world today, we'll be guilty of being like Samuel and others that look on the outside and judge and gauge people's ability to serve in the church by how they look on the outside. I understand their standards. I understand there's modesty that ought to be upheld by both men and women in the house of God. I understand all that. That's not what I'm preaching about. You know me better than that. But I'm talking about giving in to what the world says standards are. Let's just stick with God. He's not interested in frills and frills. He just wants some common vessels that he can use.
Amen, brother. That's right. If these vessels were going to be used, they needed to be clean. And it didn't matter that they were common. But then I want to say, and I got two more, and I'm done. The Lord spoke to my heart and he said, if these vessels were going to be used and I was going to pour into them, they had to be committed. You say, I don't find that in here anywhere. Well, I'm just going to preach it how the Lord showed it to me, okay, in the Word of God. The Bible said he told her in verse number 3, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few, and when thou come in. In other words, he said, when you go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door, and they open the door and come out, you say, can I borrow a cup? I need to fill it with oil. That's what God said he's going to do. But they can't say, yeah, you can use it, but I got to keep it here at my house. He said, no, they got to commit to letting the vessel be used the way I say the vessel needs to be used. And he'll go a little farther in a minute if you just hang on. But I'm going to tell you what, we're living in a church age where folks claim to want to be used of God, but we want to be used of God according to our way, our standards, our guidelines. But what we're going to have to do, if we really want God to pour into us, we're going to have to commit to him, sell out, lock, stock, and barrel, lose possession of ourselves, and give it all to God.
Right.
Just commit to him.
Yeah.
There's an old preacher, I don't remember what year D.L. Moody lived in, 1800s, maybe, I don't know. My memory fails me. But he said way back then, and the statement is still true today, that God has yet to see, or the world has yet to see what God can do with one man or one woman wholly committed unto him. Because too many times, it's kind of like I thought today, sitting there while the Lord is speaking to my heart, my wife's got some measuring cups in the drawer, and they got a little hole in the handle of them. You can just about stick your finger in. And we're living in a church age where we all give it all to God, but we want to keep our finger hooked in the handle, where if we're afraid if God gets too far out there, we can pull our cup back. But I'm telling you, if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to lose possession of yourself and give it all to him.
Amen, brother.
Just commit to him.
Yes.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Just trust in him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Just commit your way to him. Commit your vessel to him. Let him use you.
Yes.
And last thing, I'm done. If the vessels are going to be used, they got to be clean. Matters not if they're common. They got to be committed. But if they're going to be used of God, it's going to be while they're concealed. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, let's look at the scripture and I'm done. He said,
Go borrow thy, in verse 3, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, that's back into her house, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. You say, you mean to tell me that all these vessels took all the time to get clean? It didn't matter what they were, gallons, 5 gallons, teaspoons, tablespoons, cups. They committed to being used for the work of God. And you mean to tell me that God's going to do the pouring behind closed doors? You got it right. And the reason for that is that God is not going to share His glory with any vessel, but He will pour out into your vessel in the concealment of your closet when it's you and Him. He'll not share His glory with you, but He'll put His power on you and fill you with the Spirit of God if you'll be willing to do it behind closed doors.
See, the reality is this. When the woman went, now it's not recorded in the scriptures what she said. All that we know is she was pouring and pouring and pouring, and she turned to her son. One of them said, bring me another vessel. And he said, Mama, you've poured, and all the vessels we borrowed. I don't know how many they had, but I got it in my mind that there were pots stacked on pots, and quarts and pints, and the jelly jars and all the things you can think of stacked to the ceiling all over the house. He said, Mama, I brought you one we got. There's not enough. And the Bible said she went and told the man of God. Now I'm going to read between the lines again, but this is by the work of the Holy Ghost in my heart. When that woman went, Brother Jacob, to tell the man of God what happened, I guarantee she didn't say, you ought to seen how much that 5 gallon bucket held. You ought to seen how pretty that quart jar was glistening in the light with that oil inside of it. No, that probably wasn't part of the conversation. But what she went to tell him was this: you'll never believe that pot of oil, it filled up 5 gallons and 10 gallons and quarts and pints and cups and teaspoons. It poured and poured and poured until I thought it couldn't pour no more, and it kept on pouring. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God's going to get the glory. It matters not how much you can hold. He's got enough for you. And if you want some more tomorrow, you can get some more tomorrow. All the glory's going to be on Him and what He can do. But He'll let you share in the experience of His power if you want it. He's not filling you to make you a showboat. He's not filling you so you can brag about how much of Him you can hold. Remember what I said to begin with, we're just common vessels. But He's filling you to let the world know what He can do with a common vessel that's clean and committed and willing to get behind closed doors in concealment and spend some time alone with Him. He's wanting to show the world what He can do. And if you'll let Him use you, He'll show the world through you. He'll get the glory through you. Ain't that what we want? For Him to get the glory. Well, He's the one to get it through you. You say, I can't hold much. Just come, whatever kind of vessel you are, and let God put what all He can put in you. You'll never be sorry. Just be a vessel that God can use. Just be clean. Don't worry about being common. Don't worry about what you're made of. Don't worry about what I mean by that is this. Don't worry about what you can and cannot do. Don't worry about that. You say, well, I ain't a preacher and I ain't a Sunday school teacher and I don't sing loud when the congregation sings and I can't pray like it. Don't worry about all that. Just be the vessel that God made you to be and let Him pour in you. Just commit yourself to Him. Get in private behind concealed closed doors. Spend some time with Him and pray for Him to pour into you. And watch what God can do. I don't feel... Let's all stand tonight. I'm done. I don't feel led to give an altar call because I believe that the Lord has spoke to some hearts, and you need to go home to your private place where you talk to